Hello, and welcome back to the Scooter Life podcast. I'm here today to tell you about how I found the scooter that would hopefully carry me across the United States. What was initially projected to be about 4,200 miles, as I put in these little spots that I wanted to see, and I figured, you know, that would take me about a month, and I kind of got an idea of what sort of gas range that was going to be possible, and I was still pretty sure it could work. So I pull up my computer and got all of my search engine action happening of looking over all over town trying to find a scooter that would work. And in my initial search, I was trying to imagine how I would be carrying bags on the scooter. So, first off, I was looking for something that would hopefully already have a rack attached to it and maybe some exposed handlebars. So often scooters are like kind of covered in plastic everywhere, which in my imagining was making it really hard to imagine putting luggage anywhere. And I was scouring the web trying to find any company that made scooter bags or boxes or anything that would just attach if there was something that was already figured out. And there was like one company this one time, most of them were in Europe, and if anything, it just no longer existed. I was kind of figuring out that I would need to make something up. And the thought of just cam strapping bags to the rack, that was kind of where I was at this time. So in my searching, I eventually found this one scooter. It was 150 cc's, exactly what I wanted. And so in my research, I found that 150 cc's was the legal engine size that I would be allowed to be on any roadway across the US. So I was like, that's my bare minimum. And theoretically, what I need that license for, that we just won't mention again. And so I found this one, and it had a bright, shiny chrome rack already installed on the back of the scooter. It had exposed handlebars, and it was this super enchanting, like, dark blue galaxy color. And I was checking out all the different specs. The woman that posted it, she had put a lot of effort into the ad, which kind of gave me a little boost in confidence that this was someone that maybe cared a little bit about the scooter. But checking out the mileage, it was pretty low. And also in this intensive scooter research I was doing, I found out that there's kind of this like break-in period for these new engines that generally suggest to not do WOT or wide open throttle and to keep it like in a pretty tight range for speed and not go long distances and just kind of baby it until it's fully alive, I guess. So the scooter was definitely underneath that threshold. And the thought of like needing to just stay around 40 miles per hour on these roads that I knew for a fact were 50 and above to where my first destination was. And I'm like, I don't know how well this is going to work. But as I was looking through all these scooters, I just kept trying to not fall into a pit of despair, in the sense that I knew that, the scooter was kind of critical to this whole adventure happening, and I wasn't really finding anything that just totally set my, like, confidence and assuredness at ease that I just would have the thing that would last. And doing research about parts, and it seemed like I could probably get them everywhere, And then I just kind of had this, like, I have to start somewhere. I at least have to start trying out scooters. I don't have a lot of experience buying cars either. So I just, like, I don't have anyone else to go with me right now. So I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna try to figure it out, see if this lady and I can make a plan and just get started. So I called her up and we started chatting about the scooter, and I told her a little bit about what I was planning on doing, and she was just like, yep, that's perfect, okay, let's do it. I'm like, well, I need to make sure that I can borrow a car to come up there and see it. And it'll be, you know, I'll get back to you later. But the ball was rolling. I was like, okay, like, this could be it. This could be the scooter that does it. Yet something just didn't feel right. And I just sort of felt like in this foggy haze, but I knew that I just needed to keep moving. So I chatted with my friend that I was staying with, and she let me borrow her car. And I'm like, okay, this is happening. And I contacted the lady again. We scheduled a time to meet. And on my drive up to go see her, I almost had like a panic attack. It was like the ghost of Christmas past with this Mercury retrograde nonsense just came flooding back into me. And I'm like, something is not right. I don't know what it is, but I just couldn't go forward with it. Like, this is crazy, Sarah. So I just pulled off the highway, pulled into a parking lot, and I called the lady, and I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm not coming. I apologize for, you know, wasting your time, but I don't think that this is gonna work. And she became furious with me on the phone and was just chewing me out about how terrible of a person I was for not buying it from her, and that she really needed the money and she was counting on me. And just, I'm glad that I was able to stand my ground. There are a lot of opportunities in my life to stand up for myself that I have not done a good job with, and that's something that I continue to struggle with. That when someone comes on with a really strong energy of like, you have to do this, I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So I'm really proud of myself that I was able to stand up to her and tell her that, no, I'm gonna get off the phone now. I'm sorry, I wish you the best, but this isn't gonna work out. And was just able to like call it that. And as soon as I hung up the phone, I immediately had this rush of relief. And I'm like, what the heck is that supposed to be about? Is this my body trying to tell me that I'm an idiot and I shouldn't do the scooter trip at all? And this is my, like, I haven't spent a whole bunch of money. I'm just, maybe I'll just live in San Francisco now. Maybe I'll get a job somewhere around here and can just completely change my name and my life. And just, I just kind of had this going back and forth. And I tried to calm down and be like, you know what, I think this is just me exercising my expression and my understanding of my gut reaction to things. And I think this was positive. This is step one. I'm still doing this. Just go back to our house and hit the reset button. So I went back, and I'm just kind of like in this brain cluster of nonsense, and like, I could use a beer. So I walked across the street to a grocery store that was next to my friend's house and filled myself a six pack and came back and put on some dance music. It was my favorite Hawaiian island driving playlist that I'd made for myself, and has a little like world music in it, excellent beats, and just kind of danced myself back into happiness in her living room with some high kicks and other like really impressive dance moves, and just tried to like remind myself that I am a badass, I am strong, I can do all of this that I need to do. And I started to think of like, how can I help myself? I understand that I don't have all the information, but I know a lot of people that have a lot of different kinds of information. How can I source that? So I reached out to these two different people that I know have some experience with scooters and just started finally asking questions. Up until this point, I was afraid to do that, in the sense that I felt that if I received any more like negative expression of, you can't do this and you're crazy and why don't you get a real bike? That was kind of the main feedback I was getting, and I didn't really want to open that up anymore. But I realized that I needed some more help for myself if I was going to start navigating a buying situation. So I reached out to them and asked what they liked and didn't like, and then from both of them I got back this very, like, the most important thing being the wheels, that the bigger the wheel, the safer this thing is probably going to be. And then also both of them were like, get something with more power so you can get away from situations, drive away from a car, accelerate out of a bad situation. And I still kind of stuck to my guns on that. I'm like, I want something small. I mean, as soon as, even when I was test driving the scooter back in Hawaii, or that my friend Callan was able to offer to me to take the test, that thing was huge. And the thought of like, what if I am in some remote area and I drop it? It falls over, or like, how the heck am I supposed to pick that up all by myself? And I didn't, you know, I figured with like my Honda Metropolitan, like I had picked that up with another friend of mine to put it into the back of a truck. Like I knew that that was something that I could maneuver if there was a sketchy situation. So there was kind of this idea of like, I want something smaller so that I feel more confident being able to move it around if I need to, so I'm not just completely reliant on the help of someone else. But I was also gifted this information of these two different Italian scooters, the Aprilias and Piaggios. And so I started looking at those, and they have really nice big tires in a lot of their different models. And I started reading reviews, and people were talking about driving those things for miles and miles and how much they love them, and just the general quality of maintenance, that if you just take care of it, that it will last. And that sounds like a great idea and something exactly what I needed. So then I started kind of redirecting my Craigslist searching and found a couple in the area, and made plans to be able to go to the city and go test drive them. Like, okay, it's happening. And then to just in case that didn't work out, I had also done some research that there was this place called SF Moto in San Francisco that had some Mew scooters. And I figured, well, at least that way I'll be able to, again, put myself in a situation where, I mean, obviously this is a salesmanship situation, but these people have information and maybe I can learn more. So I went down to the city the next day and pulled up at this guy's house, and the garage was just packed full. I mean, the door was already open, and it just looked like, I mean, he said he was in the middle of moving, but I don't know how long those boxes had been there to begin with. And he just kind of like waves me on in to this sketchy garage. I'm trying to navigate around boxes, and I'm already covered in cobwebs. And then there's the scooter hiding in the back. And this thing was barely standing upright. Like, the little plastic fender was somehow attached, but mainly because it was wedged like into the tire and scooter itself. And there's just wires dangling down. He saw me looking at those. He's like, oh, don't worry about that. I just put them up with some duct tape. And I'm trying, I don't even know what my face looked like. I've never been very good at hiding my my emotions or real-time feelings. So I'm sure he's just like, this girl thinks this is crazy. Which is true. This thing was not roadworthy. And I asked him, I was like, well, I'm here, I guess, do I test drive it? So I'm like, can I ride it? He's like, well, it hasn't been ridden in a couple months. I'm like, what? Like, you are trying to sell me the scooter that doesn't run, and you didn't specify that until I drove all the way down here. Ugh. And just this, like, watching him then try to just kind of swindle me and like pull the wool over my eyes. And it's so frustrating. Like, I just can't imagine doing that to someone else and then like being in the room with someone and watching them try to do it to you. And it really gouged my heart a little bit. I'm like, that hurts, and I don't want to have to have that experience. I'm like, well, maybe at least a used scooter place will give me a little bit better direction. So I just was like, okay, dude, I gotta go. This isn't gonna work out. So I left and kind of sat in my car for a while and tried to psych myself back up and drove further into the city to go to SF Moto. And I don't really know what I was expecting, but I was hoping for the best, and lo and behold, I got it. As soon as I walked in there, the sales guy that came up to me treated me like a real person, looked me in the eyes, was just full of honesty and all this amazing information. when he asked what I was looking for, and I told him I was looking for something that I needed to ride across the country with, he didn't bat an eye. He just immediately came into step with me, took me upstairs to where all the scooters were hiding. And he's like, it's funny you mentioned that. We actually have a scooter here that went across the country in this thing called the Cannonball Run. I'm like, wait, what? I had already spent hours of research on this Cannonball Run. And in this particular scooter, I had seen it come across my Google searches. It was a brand called Sym, S-Y-M. And it's a Taiwanese scooter. And he just starts talking to me about it, takes me over to the scooter. And I was just sitting in this window display, like bathed in this incredible soft glow. And it was kind of dirty. Like it looked like it had gone places. And it was just majestic and beautiful in its own right. And the only modification that I could see on it was just this kind of raggedy old net that had been screwed into the front portion, like where your knees would go, so that the water bottle could hang there for easy access. And then as I was asking more questions, found out that he had also modified the gas tank to be a 3-gallon gas tank so that he could go longer distances, which made sense, considering that a single gallon gas tank is pretty small. But so I got to see that, and then he took me back over to the U section where he had two Sym scooters already there. One was like really pretty new, and this other one, this candy apple red. Oh my gosh, she was beautiful. She was so sparkly and also just perfectly illuminated by the sun from the window. And he's like, well, like, get on her. Oh my gosh. So I straddled the scooter in the store, and I could fit. Like, my legs touched the ground on either side. I'm like, wow, this actually feels safe. And just sitting there, I immediately was able to envision my hair blowing behind me and being caught by the sun and just a smile on my face. And I'm sure he could see it. And so I started talking to him like, well, okay, what is it like to get a scooter from you guys? And then he starts talking me through all the safety precautions that they run the scooters through, and just all the tests and checks and balances so that you could leave their store like really knowing that you have something that is safe and is good and has their name on it. And it was such an amazing experience. I'm always so grateful to humans that have this knowledge and are able to teach in a way that isn't condescending, but more of just kind of sharing in the glory of like their knowledge, and that they're happy that you now also have this knowledge. And not just a weird, like, power over move. So, thank you, sales guy at SF Moto. You totally changed things around for me. And I am standing there, I'm like, well, I want this. And he's telling me all about the wheels and how big they are and how safe they are. And I just kind of had my mom, the presence of my mother, swoop into my head and be like, it's safe, get the safe thing. And I was like, okay, like, I wonder if I can afford this. It was almost like 2 to 3 times more money, probably 3 times more money than in the scooter that I had previously looked at. And that was going to drastically change my plans. I mean, I'm the kind of person that this doesn't make any sense, and I do not recommend being this way, but that if you squirrel little bits of money everywhere, then it just sort of like is more than it is. And then if you don't actually know how much money you have, then it's more than it is. This makes no sense. This is not taught in schools. So I didn't really know exactly how much money I had. I mean, I was making spreadsheets and budgets, but I just kind of was living in this fantasy land of how exactly this was all going to work out. I'm like, okay, Sarah, now is the time where you actually have to figure this out. This is because there's not just a weird random gray area of things, just money magically coming out of nowhere. So I asked him, I was like, well, like, I really want the scooter. And he's like, you know, and then kind of the sales thing happened of like, well, there's other people looking at it. Like, if you want to get the scooter, but don't know if you can also put a non-refundable $200 deposit down. Like, well, that's a lot of money too. And then if I don't want the scooter, that's a lot of money to lose. And I'm like, well, I need to think about it. He's like, okay, like, I can hold it for you, but you just need to call this evening to put down the $200. If anyone comes by, I'll just tell them that it's being held, and, you know, to get that ball rolling. I'm like, okay, I want to be able to make sure that it can work before I do that, so I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna find all the money that I've squirreled away in shoes and other weird random hiding places and figure out what I can actually do. So I went back to my friend's house and then pulled out all the money and just officially looked at it, and then looked at it compared to my budget spreadsheet that I had, and was like, you know, I think if I just spend more focus on like camping in wilderness and getting there safely, I think this is the right thing to do. So I called the guy back and put down $200 for the scooter, and he's like, okay, well, we're gonna do another check and make sure everything's all hunky-dory and ready for you to buy. So come on down the next time you can, and we'll get you the scooter. It's like, okay, well, I need to like now get all of my cash out of the bank, so I scheduled another day for myself to be able to go down back to the city and do that. And also, I wasn't sure if I was gonna like safely be able to navigate the scooter out of the city. I wasn't really sure what all this looked like. So Harriet was able to, there, she had a job in the city, so I rode down with her and was able to catch a bus from her work site to be able to go get the scooter, go pick it up. And on the bus ride over to SF Moto, I am holding my bright pink motorcycle jacket and I've got this stupid smile on my face, and it's like morning commute time, so everyone in there is looking like they just hate everything and it's too early and don't look at me, don't talk to me. Meanwhile, I'm just kind of smiling off into space trying not to direct my overzealousness at anyone. And there's this guy who is sitting kind of kitty corner to me, and he looks over, he's like, why are you smiling? He just could not deal with it. I'm like, well, today's the first day of the rest of my life, because I'm ridiculous and I say things like that to strangers. And he looks like I have just escaped from some sort of mental asylum, and that my bright pink motorcycle jacket is definitely actually a modified straitjacket of some sorts. But I chatted with him a little bit. I'm like, well, like, what that actually means is I'm going to pick up a scooter and I'm going to ride it across the country. And by this time now, the other people that are standing around are kind of looking down at me. They're like, this is not real. She's definitely just one of those street people, and she's, you know, potentially on drugs. Let's just ignore her and not make this any worse than it already is. But I chatted with him a little bit, and he immediately starts going on this like negative path of, oh, you're gonna die. I'm like, no, I'm not. He's like, well, how do you know that? I'm like, well, how do you know that I'm not gonna die? And he kind of furrows his brow for a little bit, and he's like, well, I guess that's true. I'm like, well, when was the last time you left the city? He's like, I haven't left the city in 40 years. I'm like, well, you know, There's a lot of magic out there. He's like, well, people are crazy. I was like, well, you're not crazy, are you? He's like, well, no, I guess not. I was like, well, that's a good start. And it just kind of passed to chatting. And I just was kind of playing, I guess, devil's advocate to his negative, like, perspective on everything. I'm like, the life can be so good. People can be so good. And just look at you being a person right here next to me and not being crazy. Like, everything could be fine. This is also me trying to self-talk myself up that everything is also going to be fine. But so I get off the bus and he just sort of tips his hat at me and sends me off on my way. And the scooter shop wasn't ready yet for me, so I sat in this coffee shop just down the way, and I had my laptop with me. I figured, you know, now's the time to start researching bags and boxes, and I really need to figure this out. So I found a couple metal fabricators in the city, and I'm like, okay, let's just try this out. Maybe someone will be able to build a box for me. And I was looking around at different on their different websites, but I couldn't find anyone that actually had a quote of how much this would actually cost, and I wasn't really sure how to figure that out on my own. I'm like, well, I guess I gotta call these people. So I left, or I called the first couple people, and it went straight to voicemail. Like, I don't know how to even remotely start describing this on voicemail, so I'll just maybe call them back and try to have that conversation more one-on-one as opposed to over a voice recording. And then eventually I got to this last person and he picked up. I'm like, oh god, now I have to actually have the conversation. So it's like, hi, I have something that's kind of strange. And he's like, oh god, okay, what? I'm like, well, so I'm riding a scooter across the country, and I was wondering if you had any ideas of making some metal boxes, like panniers, like my motorcycle panniers for a scooter. And he's silent for a little bit, and he's like, well, I guess that's not the craziest thing I've ever heard. I'm like, well, that's good. I'd like them to be waterproof, because who knows what I'm going to be coming across, and maybe something that I could like take off the scooter. How much would something like that be? And I wish I could tell you that I remembered what his initial quote was, but I promptly just blacked out, because I'm like, that's just not even an option. There's no way that I can afford that. I'm like, okay, well, thank you so much for your time, and I'll call you back, and maybe I can figure this out. So now I'm back to the drawing board. I'm like, there's no way I can afford this. And I have this moment of like, what about bicycles? I've been spending so much time looking at motorized scooters and motorcycles. Like, what about foot power? And they go across the country. How are they taking their stuff with them? And then I start looking at all these different dry bags, and that there were a lot of what seemed to be more like simple options, and that as long as it's waterproof, like, well, you know, what about leaving it on the bike? And I kind of realized, if I'm gonna be doing this, I'm probably gonna be spending a lot of time with or around my scooter, and if I'm staying with someone, I'll probably be able to leave my scooter there, or like take my bags with me, and that I wouldn't maybe need to worry so much about like having a lockable or completely indestructible bag, and that if the stuff was dry and with me, that would be the most important thing. So I, as Google is always watching, find this ad for REI with these roll top Ortlib dry bags for bicycle panniers, and that they were insanely on sale. Like, well, that's great. Bookmark this, and once I get the scooter, I'll, you know, bite the bullet and get those too, because that sounds like the perfect idea. I wasn't really sure how exactly I was going to put those bags onto the scooter, but again, the cam strapping idea just sort of comes back to me. I'm like, I don't know, if I end up just duct taping it everywhere, at least my stuff will be dry. And then I got a call from the motorcycle shop, or from SF Moto, and the guy's like, so I have some news. I'm like, what? And he's like, so as we're doing the check, we found out that the handlebar for the scooter is bent, and bent in a way that it was affecting something else. And, they're like, you know, we want to be able to fix it, and we're not really sure like how long that's going to take, the parts and blah. And I'm like, dude, I'm trying to leave like yesterday. I can't really be waiting around for this. What am I supposed to do with that information? He's like, well, you can transfer that $200 to the other SIM scooter. I'm like, geez, well, that is like a couple hundred dollars more. And I was already like at my stretching my financial budget, like out of this world. And I'm like, can I think about it? I need to figure that out. And he's like, yeah, definitely. Like, we'll give you to the rest of the day. We'll hold this other scooter for you while you figure that out. And then also, if you want to, you can use that money for store credit for anything in the store. Like, okay, well, thanks. So hang up the phone, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? And then I started thinking, like, well, what, maybe there are other SIM scooters. I hadn't looked those up specifically around in the area, and maybe I would find something that would work for me. So I start Craigslisting for SIM scooters, and I found one just a little south from where we were, and I'm like, okay, this seems kind of cool. So I start emailing off to that guy and hoping for the best there. And I'm like, okay, well, while I'm here in the city, I want to not make this whole thing a bust. I was planning on getting some motorcycle pants and some new gloves at this place called Cycle Gear in the city. So I'm like, well, I'll go there and maybe my pizzazz will come back with finding out other things that I need for my trip. So I go to Cycle Gear, and immediately this saleswoman comes up to me, and she was incredible. Just a total beam of light. And she starts chatting with me about all my gear that I have and how I'm planning on doing this, and was just so supportive and not even remotely a naysayer that I didn't have a scooter and how the heck was I going to do this. That she was just ready to rock and roll. And so she asked me, like, well, what kind of helmet do you have? I was like, well, I've got my motorcycle helmet. It's like a 3/4 helmet. So basically that means that there's no chin protection, but there is a face shield. And she immediately looks worried, and I could see my mother's face and her face. I'm like, well, whatever she's about to tell me is probably something I'm going to need to pay attention to. And she's like, you can't do that. I'm like, well, I mean, I think it's fine. Like, it's a motorcycle helmet. She's like, yeah, but if you were to go down or get in an accident, just imagine that part of your face. Like, that's incredibly valuable. Like, you like your teeth, right? I'm like, yeah, I do. And she's like, well, think about that then. Like, you're investing in that. I'm like, well, that's a fair point. And she brought up some other safety things, and then she just starts talking about all of the different helmets they have. And she had been riding motorcycles for years and years, and so she was just able to chat with me about like what different like hair situations that she deals with, and like the different kind of helmets, and just the effect they have on her ears and for hot or cold, and for sound. She was just an incredible wealth of knowledge when it came to all sorts of gear. So she talked me into getting a motorcycle helmet. I'm like, okay, this is necessary. I need something that covers my entire noggin. I think that's kind of a non-negotiable. So I got the helmet and picked out some pants, found some gloves. I got two different kinds. And then she was also gracious enough to tell me, she's like, as this is a chain store, if you need to return anything or exchange it for something else, you can do that at any store. I'm like, wow, that's great. That's a pretty incredible resource. And there were quite a few stores across the country, so that seemed like a pretty responsible decision buying. So I left with my stuff, met back up with Harriet, told her about the scooter situation, but let her know that I was messaging with this other guy, and hopefully, I don't know, maybe another option would show up this way. And it was cheaper than the first scooter I was looking at buying anyway. So I made some plans with a friend that I had from back when I was living in a van, and he was able to meet me for lunch before going and checking out the scooter. So that was just really awesome to be able to kind of, again, add some positive reinforcement to my adventureness and eat some delicious barbecue before going to do this. So that just kind of put me in the right headspace of like, this is all gonna work out. So I went to the 7-Eleven parking lot to meet Simon, and this guy was immediately so trustworthy and just very thorough and walked me through everything about the scooter and was just very upfront with, this works, this does not, this is how you get around that. And it had just the perfect couple little bumps and bruises and little pieces of black duct tape, but nothing like critical. Like, the scooter was solid and had almost 10,000 miles on it. And looking down at that, I'm like, 10,000 miles? Oh my gosh. Like, that was more than going across the country. I'm like, well, if this scooter can do that, just imagine what else it can do. And checking it out, like, she had undergone some pretty regular maintenance and it felt immediately like home. And I'm trying not to show all my cards and how excited I am. I haven't even ridden the scooter yet. And Simon asks, it's like, okay, well, you ready for your test drive? I'm like, oh my God. Yes. I'm so nervous, but yes. Which I probably said out loud, but I don't recommend doing that when test driving used vehicles. But I got on the scooter, and just like the one in SF Moto, I fit. And I felt comfortable. Both of my feet could touch on either side. And I kind of just was letting the weight shift back and forth from left to right to kind of just get an idea of what the center of gravity was like. And it's definitely a lot higher than what I was used to, especially with the bigger tires. But I'm like, I think I can do this. I was able to do it with that first scooter. I was able to ride that scooter that Callan lent me to try to take the motorcycle test. I can ride this one too. And I backed it on up, turned her on, and went out of the parking lot and turned behind me and saw that Simon wasn't like standing out in the middle of the street. I'm like, okay, like, he trusts me, I trust me, this is great. And oh my gosh, getting up to 35 miles an hour, like, it was nothing. It just whoop, scooted right on up there and stopped at the stop sign. Everything was fine. The brakes were super smooth. It just felt so much more powerful than my little Honda Metropolitan. And then turning right past the stop sign, I then had a little stretch of road. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to be going a lot more over 35 miles per hour. This is my opportunity to see what that feels like. And I hadn't gone over 40 before. And so we climb up to 40, 45. And then I didn't look down at the speedometer after that because I'd never gone this fast on two wheels. And I could not help but just laugh. This girl giggle just came escaping from my lips, almost a shriek of joy, as I felt that wind just take a hold of my hair and whip it behind me. And I'm like, I am so ready for this. And finished my loop, came back into that parking lot, and I was about ready to just throw that scooter over my shoulder and just head off into the wilderness with her and be happy ever after. But of course, you know, there's like actual life that needs to happen. So parked the scooter and I'm like, okay, this is great. I want the scooter. He's like, okay, great. You know, how can you get it? Like, I know you've got your car here. I'm like, well, I, you know, currently live this far north. I will need help to get the car. Do you mind if I like take a day or two to coordinate this and figure out how to come back and get it? And he's like, yes, like, it's yours. Let's do it. I'm like, fantastic. Okay, great. It was just so easy. And just like that, the scooter was going to be mine. And so the amount of joy that just took over me, especially for that ride back up in the car to Harriet's house, and oh man, it finally felt like it was real. And I stopped off at the REI and picked up those Ortlib dry bags that I don't know if this was a mistake, but it was half the cost that was showing up on the website. I don't know if maybe there were just two hiding in the bag. It was beyond cheap, cheaper than anything else I found, and was able to get a couple different dry bags to be able to put like my sleeping bag and down jacket in, because I figure, you know, it really is not so great to be cold and wet and in a wet sleeping bag. So I'm just like, okay, just get some dry bags. Dry is key. If everything is in a dry bag, everything should be fine. Picked up a little waterproof phone case, and I just felt alive. I was ready to make this work. And with that, I will leave you guys, and my next podcast will be about how I actually go pick up this new scooter steed. All right, thank y'all for listening, and I'll be back with you next time.